everybody, and welcome to an all-new episode of The Chat. We're back with so much to discuss, from celebrating Women's History Month to Eric Braeden versus Eva Longoria, and even to that big Bo and Hope return on Peacock's Days of Our Lives. But before we get into everything, let's check in on our co-host, Rodrigo. How are you, dear?
I'm doing good, Casey. I'm back and ready to chat tonight.
Ah, I see what you did there. Huh? Very nice. Hashtag YR. Hashtag chat. Hashtag chat 50, you know?
Yes. Chat 60.
Yeah, I'm serious. Alan, how are you, dear?
I'm super. Thanks for asking.
Again? Tiggs, how are you doing?
I'm fresh off a afterward nap. I'm feeling great.
Oh, I know. That's right.
Yeah, I had to open this morning. So whenever I open and I get home before 4 o'clock, oh, I'm taking me a motherfucking nap.
God. Well, let's just hop right into everything. So next week is our very special episode celebrating 50 years of Wyandar. So we're going to dive into all the stories and the new openings and the documentary and all that jazz on the 29th. We hope all of you join us. But for now, there is a Wyandar hot topic, and that is Eric Braeden versus Eva Longoria.
Oh, that was mad.
So Eva Longoria, who of course played Isabella Braña on the show and then went on to have fame on ABC's long-running primetime soap Desperate Housewives, was recently on the talk show Who's Talking to Chris Wallace, and Chris brought up her past on The Young and the Restless. And Eva Longoria revealed that when she was on the show, for her, it was not paying her enough. So she took a headhunter job, and she didn't want her clients knowing that she was on The Young and the Restless because she didn't want to, quote, seem like a dumb actress. This interview sparked Eric Braeden, who has played Victor Newman since 1980, of course, to go on Twitter. And he said, quote, Eva Longoria, you just made derogatory remarks about daytime actors. You simply weren't good enough to survive the pressures of this medium. You were very lucky to get on that housewife show. You did one show in 8 to 12 days with mediocre but salacious dialogue. Our actresses would run rings around you, and they did then. From Robert De Niro to whoever they all are, many of them started in the medium. You denigrate. It shows a complete lack of class. So, Rodrigo,
oh my God,
how did you feel about all of this?
First of all, Eric Braeden versus Eva Longoria was not on my bingo card this year. It was just like, came out of nowhere. You know, Eric just celebrated. One minute I'm looking at the Wyandar 50 party, all of a sudden, the next day Eric is going in on Eva Longoria. And I hope she didn't get an invitation to this party, but okay. Eric, as we know, Eric Braeden is a big defender of the genre. There is no bigger defender of daytime than Eric Braeden. You say some shit bad about daytime, or you say anything slick, Eric Braeden is quick to check a bitch. Like, and I'm not calling Eva Longoria a bitch. I'm just saying he is just quick to check somebody who disparages or even appears that they're disparaging. Now, I saw the clip. While I don't feel that Eva attacked Wyandar or said anything bad about it, I can see in some parts of it where, you know, when Chris Wallace told her or asked her about her time on Young and the Restless, and then Eva said, oh my God, you're not going to show a clip, are you? I think that triggered him. Because for Eric, I don't know Eric personally, but from my viewpoint, Eric feels that if you came from daytime, you should be proud of where you came from. And there's no shame of being in this medium. He's been in it for 40 years and counting. And he has seen people come and go, even though that, you know, have gone on to fame. And he will not tolerate anybody that's going to say anything bad. Now, Eva didn't say anything bad. All she said was that, you know, CBS did not pay her enough to have, you know, to have a life. So she had to have get this headhunter job. Now, where it gets a little salty for me is why she would feel, I don't know, you know, some dumb, I think her term of dumb soap actress kind of got under his skin. Why would she think that she would lose clients because she's on a soap opera? Were they not going to take her seriously, even though she knows what she's doing? So I think that's where the problem was. I thought it was hilarious. And I know, you know, Eva didn't say anything bad, but, you know, I've had my issues with Eva Longoria since, you know, she made that ridiculous comment about Black women voters in 2020. But, you know, she did come back and apologize for that. But, you know, I'm a little petty still on that. So I was like, fuck her. She deserves all the Eric smoke. But I thought it was hilarious. And then Eva didn't even say anything or even respond to it. You know, I guess she just didn't care what he said. But it was good entertainment on Twitter for a couple of days, I will say. But I don't think it hurt anybody. He didn't call her a bitch or anything. He didn't call her anything out her name. He just said, how dare you say anything bad about the medium? No, he did say you weren't that good. Anyway.
That was the best part of it all.
you weren't that good. I mean, you know, the clip they showed, yeah, that was a horrible clip with her and, you know, Doug Davidson, but I was like, you know, I liked Isabella back. I mean, she was a good villain for the time they had. And, you know, Eva did her thing. I mean, it allowed her to, like, move on and go to Desperate Housewives. So, like, if she wasn't that good, she wouldn't have gotten that big primetime role. But, I mean, it is what it is. You know, after a couple of days, people kind of forgot about it, you know, and moved on. But for what it was at the time, I thought it was hilarious as shit for me. That's it. I mean,
when he said she was a caricature in those comments.
Oh, God.
But you know Eric's going to read you. He will read you for filth. Like, yeah. Eric Braden has a history. And even the fans that came to him was like, that's not what she meant. You don't know what she meant. I know what she meant.
He said, I didn't misunderstand a damn.
I didn't misunderstand shit. Okay. He basically said, I said what I said. I ain't changing it. And that's Eric Braden. If you know Eric Braden, he's going to talk his shit and not give a fuck. And that's one of the things I kind of like admire and cringe a little bit sometimes about Eric, because he'll go off the wall. And sometimes you're like, oh, God damn, Eric, come on, stop. But then he'll make some valid points on other things. You're like, oh, yeah, you're right. That. But I love someone that's a defender of soaps. I love someone that is not ashamed of where he is. And I think his point was, you know, this is a job that gave you an opportunity to be on Desperate Housewives. Because you showed your soap skills there that allowed you to go to a primetime soap and do the same thing over there. So I think that's where he was coming from. I know people there, you know, there were people that are like, oh, you old geezer, like, oh, you know, you're going over the top, you stop doing that, da da da. But I was like, you know what? Hey, he said what he said, he didn't change it. He didn't give a retraction. He didn't go on back on it. He kept it moving. So it is what it is.
Well, and I think what you said, Rodrigo, before we go to Alan and Tiggs is so important. You pointed out how the show could have given her the opportunity to do Desperate Housewives, because I think back to like the series finale look back of Desperate Housewives and how Mark Cherry revealed that when somebody like Marcia Cross walked into the room, everybody was like, oh my God, Kimberly from Melrose Place. And he was like, oh my God, Kate from One Life to Live. Like, Mark knew Eva and Marcia from their soap operas. That's where he knew them. That's why he wanted those ladies in the room. And so I do think that Eric was right in saying that The Young and the Restless, in a way, did give Eva the attention and the go-getting personality to go get Desperate Housewives. But Alan, I loved that you tweeted out that Gail Weathers gif on Twitter.
About still got it.
Fucking amazing. So, Alan, what did you think of Eric versus Eva?
Eric Braden is known to be overly sensitive because remember when Sharon Case, he said she didn't really like Schichter, Sharon and Victor, and you get all pissy about it? Yeah, he's a sensitive little baby. And it's not like Eva said, fuck YNR, I hope you all die of cancer, bitches. No, she simply said, well, I didn't want people to know I was an actress. And he overreacted.
Alan said, I'm going to make my thoughts known real quick.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Whatever that means. Yeah, she didn't say fuck why not. She didn't say anything derogatory about the show. She seemed a little embarrassed about the clip. Some actors don't like seeing themselves on screen. So that could be a part of it.
Well, and it was very early on in her career. I mean, my God, they showed a clip from 21 years ago, you know? So it's like... Yeah. To look at where she is now, where she was. You know, this is a woman, Eva literally did an episode of 90210 in its final season. She was flight attendant number 3. And then she was on General Hospital for one episode, credited as a Brenda Barrett
look-alike. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was her only two credits. Yeah, and so now...
married to Tyler, with Tyler Christopher.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tyler Christopher, yeah.
And she moved on to Young and the Restless. She showed her skin. I thought... Eva was amazing. I loved
Isabella. I loved Isabella.
Isabella is one of the last few great villains that show had that actually like did real villain shit and like you were scared of her. And I think this is where Elena Dawson can go in the direction to make her character a little bit more interesting if she went that psycho route. So, like, Eva, she was good. She made Paul and Christine interesting because I was never a Paul and Christine fan, really.
Rodrigo, why'd you say it like that?
Really, I was not a Paul Christine. No. But when Isabella came on there, she made them interesting. Like, let's be real. So, I don't agree with Eric when he said that she wasn't that great of an actress on the show. That was just Eric just, you know, Eric likes to... He's petty boots. Like, that man is petty to the max. Like,
now, what's the knife?
He doesn't give a fuck. Like, especially that he's 80 plus now, he really don't give a fuck right now. And he's not apologizing. He's not. So don't go to him to ask for an apology or say you misunderstood because you'll get cussed out too. So I don't even say nothing to the man. I don't say nothing to him. I kindly follow him. And I move about my day. That's it.
Well, I'm blocked, so I can't see those tweets. So.
Are you really?
You blocked him?
About 2014, I tweeted about him being pissy about Sharon Case not liking Schichter. He blocked me.
He blocked you back in the Gene Passanante era. Yeah. Dead Riders.
Almost a decade of being blocked by Eric Braden.
Are you going to celebrate? Are you going to celebrate, Alan? I think you should celebrate next year, like when it reaches 10 years.
Do you have the screenshot of the block?
Yeah, hashtag YRTIG. But Tiggs, you joined me in a Twitter space that same day because we were just so cracking up about this. So Tiggs, what are your thoughts?
I didn't like the comment, like a dumb soap actress, baby. 20 years ago, YNR was still being regularly seen by 5 million people. And that's just like regular soap ratings. Really, it was like at 7 million. Girl, you were not going to be considered some dumb soap actress. Girl, shut the fuck up. That's the reason you fucking got that job at Desperate Housewives. And you can't tell me Sony wasn't paying you no damn money. You were making at least close to $1,000 an episode. You was there for 2 fucking years. bull fucking shit. You just probably wasn't making money you thought you should have been making. Well, girl, this is your first big gig. What did you think you were going to... You weren't going to be making Melody Thomas Scott money, baby. Now you can.
Remember, she was in the front burner storyline by this.
Yeah.
With the two of the show's longest tenured veterans.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, she wasn't the best actress back then. But, I mean, they do this all the time. They've been doing this since the beginning of time. You take an actress that's not that great, you make her a bitch or you make her nuts. She's popular. They did it with Annie on All My Children. They did it with Nicole on Dates. If you have a wet noodle of a character, you make her crazy or you make her a fucking bitch. And you strike gold every time. So, like, that's just... Okay. I'm Team Eric Braden. Even though I'm going to she all right, but... I'm a ride for my Eric Braden. I don't give a fuck till the wheels fall off. The way motherfuckers feel about Sonny Corinthos is the way I motherfuckers feel about Vic Noon. I don't give a fuck.
Oh my God.
That's how I motherfucking feel about it.
God.
No, if you know Victor Newman is so popular with the Black community, with the Caribbean community, with the I'm telling you, Victor, like everyone was seeing Victor. Even my mother was seeing Victor. She called me. It was like, what did that lady do to Victor?
I know it would always be the woman.
You know, yeah. That motherfucker. When you are randomly trending on a random Saturday night on Black Twitter, Eric Braden was randomly just.
I think trending. He made the shade like, room
because it was just so many people like, do you know how many times I would have got my ass pulled if I would have interrupted anything going on with this man on my grandmother's TV? Shit.
Right. Every Black grandma know
of it. Every Black grandkid, you gonna know. If you don't know anybody else, you gonna know Victor and Nicky Newman.
Victor and Nicky.
You gonna know Catherine Chancellor. You gonna know Marlena Evans. God damn it. You gonna know. You gonna know Erica Kane.
Stefano DiMera.
Stefano DiMera, if you a real bitch, a real slut shamer, you gonna know Brooke Logan.
But Victor is on the top of that food chain. Victor is on the top of that mountain for a lot of viewers.
There's a reason why when he took that break, what, a couple of years ago before COVID or something like that, and he came back and he brought back 300,000 viewers with him. Because wasn't nobody checking for that damn show without Victor. Shit.
Nah, that's just Eric. I mean, it didn't really blow over that huge because... Like I said, Eva didn't even have a response for it. She didn't give a fuck, really. Because
Eva ain't thinking about these soap operas. Her new cooking show. Like, she's got
$15 million. And I'm sure she said herself, oh, that's just Eric.
Well, and I think
that's one of those things where it's like, I mean, after Desperate Housewives, baby, ain't nobody been really checking for Eva like that either. I mean, she had Devious Maids for a couple of seasons, but ain't none of her recent TV work been blowing up and taken out like that.
But you know,
she may get lucky with this little cooking show.
She's been staying very low key though. You know, she's been executive producing and directing. She's been raising her kids. She's been releasing these cooking lines. Like Eva has become very Kimberly McCalla almost. You know, she's very behind the scenes now.
She's very political these days. And...
Oh, Rodrigo, don't.
I mean,
what is the last film I saw her in? That movie where she played a dead woman or something like that? Yeah.
Oh, see, the last thing I saw her in was that telenovela sitcom on NBC.
Well, she has a CNN documentary coming up about, I think it's food or something in Mexico.
Yeah, she took over. So they did Finding Italy with Stanley Tucci, and now they're doing Finding Mexico or something Eva. Yeah.
With Eva.
So but see, that's in her lane because that's something that can be popular. It's a niche show. It does require boffo ratings. So, yeah. And her name is strong enough to, you know, keep that going.
Exactly.
So good for her.
I think Eva. People
know she's not a J-Lo, so. You know.
I feel like she's semi-retired from acting, so all her stuff is more behind the scenes and producing, directing, doing documentaries and stuff. So I think her acting days you know, from Desperate Housewives. Those are long gone, in my opinion. And she's in this new trajectory in her life. So I don't know. The Chris Wallace interview, I don't even know why was she was on Chris. I think she was on Chris Wallace to promote the documentary.
Yes, she was. She went to Drew Barrymore first and then Chris Wallace.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, baby, next time they show soap clips, just say, oh, it was a great time. You just move it along.
I think it's one of those things where I think she's kind of almost in her Selma Hayek bag, where Selma Hayek married that rich man, and now she rarely does any like acting roles unless she just motherfucking feel like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things. But yeah, I just want more of these, you know, primetime stars to be a little bit more humble, have a little bit more class.
Be proud.
Everybody can't be Julianne Moore.
Right.
I'm sorry, she won a fucking Oscar and still took her motherfucking ass back to As the World Turns to show her appreciation. Even Sarah Michelle Gellar and Josh Duhamel and Eva LaRue took their asses back to All My Children. There's nothing wrong with being proud of where the fuck you came from, because like whether she likes it or not, you have your platform because of the Young and the motherfucking Restless. So get the fuck over.
Not every star had a good experience on soap. So I know there are some that just, they will never talk about their time on soap because it was the worst experience of their lives. But I don't think Eva's never come out publicly and said that Young and the Restless was the worst time of her life. So this is the first time I've ever heard her even speak in detail about her time on YNR in a long time. So it just, I think when she said dumb actress and, you know, kind of embarrassed by the clip they were going to play, and then she said she didn't make any money, I think those kind of like, you're like, well, did you not have a good experience doing your soap opera? I mean, what's the thesis? Like, what? Can we expound on that? They weren't paying you. Okay, they didn't pay you, but what about your actual experience? Like, did you enjoy your time there? You did it for 2 years. I mean, you signed a contract. So I guess, you know, it had to be a good experience, maybe. I don't know. So I don't know what she went through.
That is so crazy to me. Like Tig said, I mean, we're talking, she was on a soap when there were 10 soaps on still. Like, in, you know, there were 6 million people watching this show, and she was in a front burner story with Doug Davidson and Laura Lee Bell, and she would share a lot of scenes with Kirsten LeBlanc. So it's like so weird to me. Girl, were they paying you like $300?
How much does a headhunter make? I didn't even look like back then. Like, how much would a headhunter make that you would have to like, that you have to keep that job and then like keep a job on the number one show on television, on daytime television. So it just didn't, I was like, wow, that was 2000. When she started in
2001. Going there from 01 to 03.
So there were still four very healthy soaps on. I mean, mm-hmm. Guiding Light still had 8 years left. It's like,
yeah, like hell, even Port Charles was pulling in like 2.5 million views.
Charles, Passions.
Yeah, so numbers. I'm just like, girl, what?
Sunset Beach was still on the air.
Beach went off in 99.
Yeah.
99?
But yeah, there was Passions.
Remember because they made the decision to keep Sunset Beach in Another
World.
And I don't give a damn. I would have rather had 6 more months of Lumen versus 6 more months of Sunset Beach. I like Sunset Beach, but I would have rather had an extra 6 months of Another World, because Another World would have had that 6 months if they could have just pulled in at least over a 4.0 and kept it consistent. NBC would have kept it another couple of years. They had time. Sunset Beach was fucked either way, because they weren't going to pull in no extra ratings like that.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just a crazy situation.
And their defense, LA is expensive, so.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, imagining LA like 21 years ago.
LA 20 years ago, yeah, it was expensive, but still, like, Eva, girl.
Like, what were you doing, Eva? Like, were you living in a mansion or something? Like,
well, you have to factor in taxes and the agent cut, the manager cut, and all that. So, yeah.
Girl,
that cuts
the she should have had a damn sugar daddy. That's what she should have been doing.
Well, she wasn't the first one. I mean, look at Kate Linda. She kept her, she worked in the airlines while she was still playing Esther.
Or Judy Evans.
Okay. Or hell, even Martha Madison. Like Martha Madison, in between her days, then she'd be waitressing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not.
But I get that, though. Especially with Judy Evans and Martha Madison, because they just don't ever want to write shit for their characters. So you need something consistent. But Eva had a consistent 2 years on that fucking show on the front burner storyline.
And then Kate Linda, you know, they ain't giving no storyline.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, hell, we can count on one hand how many stories Essendon had over the last 4 years.
Right.
There was Tiny. There was that other man that was trying to get money up out of her after Captain died. Was, you know, Chloe's introduction.
I don't remember none of that.
And Catherine's death.
And Delia's death. And then they finally gave Esther a man.
It was only five
key moments over the last 40 years of Esther Valentine.
All I saw Esther doing when I started watching the rest, she was just coming on the scene with Catherine and, introduce somebody in the house. Or, like, you know, she always in that maid outfit.
But, yeah, I always, a peripheral character like Esther, yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you drive and story your whole contract, girl, get out my way.
If you think about it, no tea, no shade, that was Laura Lee Bell's last big storyline on that show.
Yep.
And so Eva was on 3 to 4 days a week. Like, I don't know. You know what? It's something we don't know. We're not Eva Longoria's accountant, but when you put the pieces together, it just makes you raise an eyebrow. But anyway, let's go on to Days of Our Lives with the big Bo and Hope return. I mean, there's so much to unpack with what happened this past week. So, Tiggs, let me go to you. We're a few episodes in. Megan's got the devious plan to give Bo a youth serum in order for him to not turn youthful, but to have the same feelings he had for her when he was younger. Kate, Bo took her out back to be murdered, and we heard a gunshot, but no body. Harris is back, and he's under the watchful eye of Kim. But Hope wants to pump him for information. I mean, there's so much going on. So, Tiggs, what are you thinking of Bo and Hope returning?
I loved it. Those three episodes were great. Like I said, it felt like a season premiere. It felt like almost a reboot. Like, it was great. It felt like it was an actual Peacock show. Yeah, like, the whole thing with Megan and the... in the youth serum, okay, I guess I misunderstood that part. I thought it was going to actually turn them young, but it was just going to, like, regress their emotions and memories. Okay, I guess that makes a little bit more sense. And I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, this is nuts, but the bitch is demented. She's crazy. The woman has been a fugitive for 40 fucking years. She hasn't had time to, like, move on with her life or pass the happiest time of her life, which was in high school with Bo. And it wasn't like Bo broke up with her because he didn't want to be with her. Her mother manipulated the whole situation because she felt like a merchant marine wasn't good enough for her daughter. So, you know, and by the time Megan found out, Bo had moved on and was in love with Hope. And she didn't stand a motherfucking chance. So to find out that he was dying and she could find a way to bring him back to life and recreate all that, I get it. She's a typical soap psychopath. Whatever. The whole thing with Kate, I didn't understand that either because it's like, okay, they said hours later in the next scene. I'm like, okay, so Bo just been marching her around the premises for like 4 or 5 hours and still ain't shot her. I'm like, what? Okay. All right. And the exposition was a lot, but this is what happens when you shoot 6 months in advance and the story kind of stalled for 8 months. So for people who didn't watch Beyond Salem, you have to remind them of what happened. I don't know why you wouldn't have watched it if you're watching it exclusively on Peacock now, but whatever. But yeah, they just had to bring everybody up to speed and explain why there was this big gap since last summer. But so far, I like it. It's the only part of Days I'm liking. Yeah, the Harris Michaels thing, that was a beat that needed to be played, I guess. I would have rather seen Patsy Peas back on my screen if y'all gonna talk about Kim. We know why Shane isn't there. That's because Shane is killing people in upstate New York with a soft dick.
Stop.
But yeah, it's only been 3 episodes. I know people wanted a different follow-up. It was what I expected. It was going to be a follow-up to Beyond Salem 3. I knew that. I mean, Beyond Salem 2. They had to pick up where they left off. I'm just trying to wonder, okay, these upcoming spoilers, Kayla's going to find Bo. They're going to escape. They're going to go to Victor's childhood home, I guess, in Greece. And then Steve's going to find out that Kayla's alive because he's going to catch Megan. Marlena's going to get back home with her family, but they're still like, where the fuck is Kate? And Bo's going to tell Kayla his next move. And I guess that's one of those things where I know motherfuckers are like, well, why won't he just run Hope? Well, because he's still technically brainwashed. He doesn't give a fuck about Hope right now. We have to deprogram this motherfucker and build up back to that. He doesn't give a fuck about Hope right now. So we'll see what happens. Like, don't worry, she'll find out he's alive and she'll get to him. But the rest of that show, I got 6 minutes left for today's episode. I said, oh, I gotta go to work. Bye, Kenya. I gotta pee. Cause the rest of that show stinks. There's no substance. It's not compelling. There's no depth. It's just bad, sloppy writing. Writing that any other writer would have gotten fired for by now. I don't know what Ken Corday is just letting Ron do over there, but they need to figure out something quick, because outside the Bone Hope story, I don't give a good goddamn about what's going on with none of these characters. Why should I care? Why do I care that EJ and Nicole are together? Why? Why do I care about Eric and Sloan? Why should I care that Alex and Xander are fighting over Gwen like 2 Neanderthals? Why should I care about Brady and Chloe? Why did Kristen do all of this to get pardoned just to end her stupid ass up back in Statesville? Why do I care? I like Jada's sister, but that threw me for a loop. Okay, she's a doctor. She doesn't give me a doctor. She gave me cute little Baker. And I like her chemistry with Chanel, but I'm just like, okay. Then we have Tripp and Wendy and Johnny. Okay. Steph and Gabby and Lee. Okay. Why should I care?
There's a lot of disjointed pieces
show. Have to start incorporating the Bone Hope story with the rest of the show.
Yes.
Like, you can't show 3 episodes and go on 3-4 episodes without showing them, because you're going to get the same reaction that I'm getting. Oh, I'm invested when they show them, but then when y'all show what's going on in Salem, I don't give a fuck. You need to mix and match it and incorporate it. This should be a huge umbrella story, y'all.
I think
we're going to see Pinky in the Brain tomorrow. So, they'll be back. And then, like I said, that's annoying me, because if Robert Scott Wilson was a David Canary or John Lindstrom, I wouldn't have this issue.
Or even a Martha Byrne, you know?
God damn it. Fuck it. Even a Michelle Morgan. Even a Bradley Cole.
Honestly.
He's not. The only difference we're going to get between Alex and Ben is Alex is going to wear glasses and have a suit on. Ben is going to be dressed like a fucking lumberjack. Ben's going to have a little bit of broken English. Alex is more of a horny, preppy boy.
Broken English.
And it's just, well, more of a Boston accent. And it's just like, we're going to get some wink, wink, nudge, nudge moment between them two in Sierra, because Ron does that ad nauseum. It's cute sometimes, but when he does it too much, it's like, Ron, wrap it up, lady. We get it. We get it. This isn't funny. Move on. I just don't get it. They should have, as much as I love Victoria Cannavale, they should have just recast Sierra. It's weird that her husband is a dead ringer for her fucking cousin. Because unlike him and Stephanie, Alex and Sierra are blood. Justin and Bo are first cousins. Alex and Sierra got the same big daddy, the same great grandpa. This is stupid. So I just...
So, Tiggs, before we go to Alan, then, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the best, of course, where do you rate Bo and Hope's return?
I'm liking it so far, so good. I'm going to give it a 5. That shit, that could get lowered at any time. Because I'm cautiously optimistic. I am cautiously optimistic. But we're going to see. We got them for like 2-3 months. So we got them till about June-ish. And hopefully they get Peter and Christian back for Victor's funeral. Because I'm at a point now where I don't need them back full time. I just need them back. As long as Bo is happy and with Hope and they're on their adventures or whatever, kicking ass and all that shit, that's fine. As long as they come back when they need to come back for important shit like that, I'm fine. I'm with that with all the soaps and all the vets. I don't need them on every day like it's 1991. It would be amazing, but I don't need that. Like with the whole Lauren Coslow news, I've heard that she's just on recurring and she's going to take some time out for her daughter's wedding. Because, like yeah, King Corday has always adored Lauren Coslow. He ain't ever fired up. So, like, I don't think Kate's going to be gone forever. If it's like I said, they may write her and Roman out. She may go see Chelsea and Mac. That shocked me. When she was talking to Mo, she said Max and Chelsea were still together. Chelsea been gone for 14 motherfucking years. She's still together. Okay. I was already shocked that they brought up, but didn't say she was still with Max. Or it could be a situation where her and Roman leave town because something's wrong with Cass. You know, there's a way for them to, you know, get Kate off the campus for a little while. But I don't know if it's going to be this, oh, where's Kate story for the next few months because Bowden did something to her. We know he didn't shoot her. He didn't kill her. So where the fuck did he put her at?
Maybe he gave her like a chance to run, you know, or something. Stupid like that. We'll see Kate pop up 5 months from now in the wilderness.
No, Ron, he'll think it's cute. No. Yeah, she'll make a run for it in some kind of way. She'll end up back on a goddamn fish cannery.
Fish boat? Like
30 years ago.
Oh my God. He so would do that too. Oh, Jesus. Well, and they got Peacock money now, so that can be a good looking fish boat set. So, we'll see. Alan, where do you rate Bo and Hope's return on a scale of 1 to 5? And then what are your overall thoughts?
I'm going to give it a 3. I've never been a big Bo and Hope fan. I've said this before on the podcast, which is kind of surprising. Now, Peter Becker followed me last week, which confused me because I didn't understand that. But yeah, I like you, Peter, if you're listening. But yeah, but I am liking it. My big problem is, it's too derivative of the Stephanie story last year, where for Lisa, he had Rolf brainwash Stephanie into not loving Gabby. Now we're doing that again. It's derivative. I know Ron likes to retell stories, and all head writers do this shit, but he just had one very recently, so I don't like that factor. I get why he does. Yeah, built-in conflict, but. No.
I think the only reason that happened, Alan, because like I said, they had to explain how Bo was revealed to be alive 8 months ago, and he didn't bring his motherfucking ass back home to Hope. Or looking for Hope.
Well, and he's that was not to celebrate. That'd be easy to do.
Do what?
Have locked in himself for 8 months.
Well, yeah. She could have just locked him in the cage like Jan Spears did to Sean Douglas.
Yeah, you don't need this.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Alan, I think you hit it right on the head in a lot of aspects. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. I'm really loving the return. I think it's very old school days, like Ron promised us. I liked Hope's entrance better than Bo's. Even though Bo had a, you know, great end of episode cliffhanger, I just loved it that they got right to work with Hope, with John and Patch busting in, her cocking that eyebrow, holding that gun. That was fabulous. What I liked most about Bo's return was Kate bringing up all of that great history between Bo and Billy. And they discussed Zach for a bit, and Kate said, oh, you will always love Hope, so you don't want to do this. I thought the scenes of Roman and Patch and John interspliced at the Brady pub were really good. But the reason it doesn't get a 5 for me is because, like Tig said, it's so clunky not having any other storyline going on. You have to mix other stories going on. I get it. This is the big story. You only have them back for a limited time, so you feel pressured to take all your 35 to 40 minutes and focus it around them. But we've got to cut it in with other stuff, because I think what's happening is, by not playing out other storylines in the meantime, the show is having such a huge pacing issue right now. Because while I did enjoy those 3 episodes, they were going by so lightning fast. Everything was moving at the speed of light. It was going way too fast. But if they would have slowed down, okay, we're going to have Bo holding Kate at gunpoint. Next scene, we're going to have Hope and Harris talking. Next scene, we're going to have the Gwen and Xander and Alex stuff play out. Because what I saw today with Gwen, Xander, and Alex, I'm like, that could have played out 2 days ago and been a really nice cut to Salem stories. There still has to be stories going on in Salem. Overall, I think Reckle and Alfonso still have it. I mean, they're living up to hashtag Bope through and through. I can't wait until they get to see each other. But Rodrigo, what were your thoughts? And where do you rate Bo and Hope's return?
Guess I gotta be the asshole. So I give it a 2. I tweeted this before. I'm not enjoying this return. I know it's only been 3 episodes. Before you get on me, it's only been 3 episodes. I get that. But I feel the show had ample time to prepare Bo and Hope's return. And okay, let me go back. Let me start with the positives before I get into it. My Brockton hometown homie, Christian Alfonso, looks fucking amazing. Her hair and makeup, that peacock money is moneying, because they put that into her budget, in her hair, makeup, and her wardrobe to come back, and she looks amazing. Peter Reckle, the man's body is still bodying. He looks amazing as well. And that's where I stop with the positive. Where I don't like, I'm just having issues. I'm going to sound like an ageist, and I'm sorry, at Rodrigo's World 81. It's okay. You can tweet me. I'm kind of over the geriatric adventures. I'm sorry. I don't want to see old ass John and Patch and Roman going on adventures, and Marlena and where are Sean and Belle in this? I know it's early. Where are Sean and Belle? I think Sean and Belle should be incorporated in this, especially Sean. It's just been so weird for me. It's weird that the son of Bo and Hope, the daughter of John and Marlena, don't have more to do, especially with this part of the story. I know they only have Peter and Christian for a short amount of time, but you could have used that more effectively. I hate Megan. I don't like this character at all. And I warned y'all in another podcast, I said, "Watch, she's going to do that Damara over the top dumb shit that we've known them for." And I'm like, "Lady, you are 60 years old and you're still carrying on about something that happened in high school. It's weird to me. I think that's weird. It's childish. I think they could have gone in a better direction with that without bringing another dead Damara back. It's clunky. It doesn't fit in with the rest of the show. When Bo and Hope are not on, I mean, if you had Christian and Peter for that short amount of time, they should be playing 5 days a week. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. Like, I think they should be leading these stories because the other stories are horrible. Xander, Gwen, and Alex, that's bad. Stefan, Gabby, and Lee, horrible. you fucked up Chanel and Allie. What's her name? Layla. Jada and her sister.
Oh, Jada and Talia.
Talia, yeah. I was like, okay, that's cute.
Not,
I
mean, Layla. Whatever. Not One Life to Live.
I'm like, okay, might as well be Evangeline and Layla.
Might as well
that's
be.
Yeah. That's what they reminded me of a little bit. But she don't seem like a doc. She don't. Okay. I don't know what direction they're going with that, but nothing aligns with the Bo and Hope story. It's as if I'm watching two different shows, like, honestly. And I need Bo back in Salem. Like, enough of this. I know it's, again, I know it's only 3 days, but it seems like they're going to be away from Salem a little bit longer. And I'm just like, we don't have time for that. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I hate to be the asshole that is like not liking this, but just because they're Bo and Hope, and I love Bo and Hope. I love me some Bo and Hope. Just because it's Bo and Hope doesn't mean I automatically have to like this. And I don't.
Well, damn.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I was expecting a little bit of something. I know they had, like Tig said, they had to like follow up from Beyond Salem, which, you know, the season two, which I was amazed. I love that Beyond Salem. But I just wish with the follow-up, it was just something different. We wasted all this time in heaven with Kayla and Marlena and Kate. And, you know, it's just like another back from the dead shit. My problem with Days of Our Lives right now is I want to return to character-based driven stories. Like, I'm really over John, Marlene, all them going on these adventures at 95. I'm sorry. It's been ridiculous. And we've given Ron and their team a pass on it just because, you know, okay, they're playing the vets. We love when they play vets. But sometimes when you play vets in certain situations, you're like, I don't want to see the vets doing this. Like, Sean, Bell, Brady, that's their job now to do that. Paul, Andrew, you don't pay Andrew enough in this as well. Like, you had him with that scene with Pat, with Pash, which was cute. And then 5 minutes later, he was already in the other side of the world to see Paul. I was just like, wait, hold on. He was just with Patch 5 minutes ago at ISA.
He got his Carmen San Diego on. That's what that was. He was Carmen San Diego.
You said Paul and Andrew were living apart in different states because Andrew was busy with ISA and Paul couldn't deal with it and all this shit. And then 5 minutes later, after he was talking to Pat, he's already in California. And I was just like, why didn't they just have corporate? It's a jumbled mess. It's a jumbled mess. I don't think it was threaded properly. And like I said, they had months to prepare this. I think this is rushed. Even though I know they're only here for a short amount of time, there was a way you could have done it better than this. And Megan, I hope when she dies, she goes out the same way And this time they put a Bluetooth or something in the bathtub or something, and then she just goes bye. It's just, I don't want to see another.
You know what they're probably going to do with Megan? And I just thought of this. I wonder if Ron is going to do what he did at GH, where Stavros got in the frozen chamber. I bet that's what they're going to do with
Megan. Yeah, put her in there, freeze her for life. And no disrespect to whatever the actress's name,
baby. Miranda Wilson.
Miranda Wilson, baby. I mean, you look good. I ain't going to lie. You look, you work in that dress. You, I love you. You work in the dress, baby. But I'm done with over the top. The Mara villains. We have enough Damaras. Kristen was enough without bringing her sister in here. And the only other Damara I want to see come back is Peter Blake. I've been saying this for years. You had an ample opportunity to bring him back. I would have believed Peter was holding Bull hostage than this Megan lady. So that's just my opinion on it. But I love Peter and Christian. I'm sure this is going to get better. But I'm just judging from these 3 days of what I see on my screen. And the day that Peter and Christian reunite on screen again, Bo and Hope, yes, it's going to be. And I hope they do it in Salem. I hope it happens in Salem with Sean and Belle, with especially Sean there, with Sierra. I need a big Salem reunion. You know, that's my hope for that. So I don't want them to be everything to happen. I don't want all the shit to happen away from Salem, which I'm feeling it's where they're going. But I don't know. That's just my opinion. It may change. It may change. And I know y'all on Twitter, y'all got on me when I tweeted that. I'm sorry. That's how I felt. And, you know, look, what's her name? Lakina, baby. You came for me. I didn't like it.
Look, Rodrigo, let me tell you, you were Eva Longoria. Lakina was Eric Braden.
Yes. She got me together. I'm sorry, Lakina.
She cleared you.
She cleared. I was like, girl, I'm sorry. That tweet was meant for me. I know you were reading me. I'm sorry. I should give a little bit more time, but as a soap viewer in 2023, I don't have enough time to watch, you know, these stories unfold. You know, our attention span as soap viewers now is not the same as 20 years ago, where you could, you know, go through a slow build of them getting back together and all this stuff. No, I don't have time for that. Like, just get to it, Ron. Just get to the point. Another thing, I wish Jamie and Ryan were writing this, in my opinion. I feel like they could have came up with a better story and execution for this, but that's just my opinion. But you know, us soap viewers, I may hate it one week, and then next week I'm gonna love something about what they do. So it's not my final opinion. I'm gonna wait and see what else happens. But for now, I'm giving it a 2.
Well,
and so Rodrigo, I get what Rodrigo's saying. Like, yes, I agree too. Like, yes, I've been saying that they do need to give the younger generation stories, but like I said, Rodrigo, they were part of the story last summer. It has to play out with them. But this can be their last grand adventure for a while.
Yes.
And then you pass it down to the kids and the grandkids.
I'm sure they might be going in that direction.
Because, I mean, yes, maybe I'm just on, like, Rodrigo, because your ass ain't got no motherfucking problem. You ain't got no goddamn problem with Laura and Robin and Anna and them on GH.
That's true. They're all too.
This is but they do been dragging way long.
But they do incorporate some young folks up there, at least a little bit. But it's not just the old folks.
Set Brooklyn Quartermain on fire. They set 60-year-old Holly Sutton on fire.
But I believe Fanola Hughes doing her drop kicks and shit. I believe it. She's still young and sprung looking.
And you have you seen that body? That. My God, that
body's kicking ass.
Ugh.
Even Emma Sands, she still got it going on. You can believe she does. Now, Tristan Rogers, yeah, that's why they keep him in the VA office. I would not believe him doing adventure shit still at his age.
Look, the only other cast member they have involved in that GH story is Selena Wu, because she won't stop popping up in them sets everywhere.
But you did see, it was a little inside joke. Remember what Cameron Masterson drew when he said, well, you know, them people, them other folks, they're too, basically he said they're long in the tooth to be going after Valentin Cassadine right now. And he's the only one that can do it, because he's still young. You know, he still got that body. He can, you know, he still has that marine body and whatnot. So, but I believe the GH crew better than I do. Stephen Nichols is 75 years old. Greg Hogan is 78. Deirdre Hall is 77. And Mary Beth Evans is pushing 60. I mean, I'm just saying.
Person in this story is probably Mary Beth.
Right. Yeah, I think she's the youngest one in it. So, yeah.
But I will say one thing that really irks me on the show that they have got to stop doing. This is where they could take a note from General Hospital. They got to be careful with that stock footage. It's getting too overwhelming. I get it. You want to broaden the show's horizons. All GH does is GH shows a very HD, you know, Paris, and then an aerial font. They write Paris, France. They've got this Eterna, One Life to Live microwave writing. And, you know, I looked at that ISA stock footage. What the fuck was that? That was Sims video game. They got to pull back on the stock footage. Just use it sparingly. Use it very sparingly. And also, if you want to put us somewhere in the world, and if you want to detail where we're at, either have the character say where we're at, or just pick a very lovely font.
Yeah, I'm like, Casey, what is that footage they be showing? Like, I don't understand, like, where they got that. Either. Is that a PowerPoint thing?
I'm fine with it. Look, we dealt with years of them just having 3-4 sets and eight, and then the Hope going to gallows and closets, and that ridiculous fake blood that looks like strawberry Kool-Aid. I will take stock footage over that bullshit any day.
Hey, and everyone sharing the same office. That blue office.
It ain't T-Pack, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the blue office. Yeah.
But I feel like the show, they are putting their eggs all in one basket with Bone Hope's return.
Like, yeah, no, they do need to incorporate more. Yeah, like you said, Sean Bell could be included. Eric could be included, Stephanie, these people's children and grandchildren should be included in this. Like, I totally get that. And yes, they should have. Like, but even Ron admitted it. Like, the whole Heaven theme with Kate, Marlene, and Kate, it was used to kill time. Because Peacock, the show had not been renewed yet. They did not tell them anything about Beyond Salem yet. They did not know about the show going exclusively to Peacock yet. They didn't know. So they had no choice but to pull the bullshit they was pulling. Like, it wasn't until the 11th hour, right before they got Peter and Christian back, like, oh, Peter and Christian are back and the show's going to Peacock. That was it. They didn't know shit.
But those two still look good. Like, Peter and Christian, they're gorgeous, both of them. Especially Peter Recco, my God, that body is still like
Rodrigo.
No.
We're all about that.
For that man to be damn near 70,
and that body is
Rodrigo salivating.
Yeah, that's
Zaddy right there. Peter Recco's Zaddy Stratton.
I think Peter got damn near a decade on Christian, and that motherfucker still look good.
Yeah,
Peter, you should follow Rodrigo. You probably like his tweets.
it also keeps you young too when you're dating somebody younger, because that wife of his, that Kelly Moneymaker, about 15-20 years younger than him, and they got that daughter who's about only 14, and he lives overseas now. You know, he don't live in the States no more, so yeah, that's what's keeping his ass young too. But yeah, like, I'm hoping that we get a little bit more incorporation, especially now that Pinky and the Brain are coming, and they will be in Salem, so we'll see. You know, Sierra gonna be getting on Sean's nerves. Sean, have you spoken to Mom?
Oh my God!
I do like Colton Little as Andrew Donovan. Is just,
oh, he's amazing.
Amazing.
Oh, we love
Colton. Like I said, I have been screaming for years for Andrew Donovan to come back, and Days really exceeded my expectations.
Yes, it did.
Make him gay and make him a real queer actor playing this role, and have him being following in Shane's footsteps. It exceeded my expectations. Usually, we never get what we want. We got to be specific. You know, Andrew Donovan to come back and he a serial killer or some shit. You see what happened with Liz's pamp. We finally get Jeff Weber back and we meet Liz's mom and look what the fuck we did. So, like, I'm so happy that I was pleasantly surprised. That's why I said when Charles Shaughnessy is eventually done at GH, I'm pretty sure
they're going to bring him back.
The Victor story should come to a close around May Swoop, God willing. And they can bring him and Patsy Pease back.
Patsy Pease, bring Patsy Pease back, God damn it. Like, I don't understand how you have not had this lady back.
But you don't include her in story, like, really? Yeah. Y'all could have got Patsy back for a couple episodes.
Like, I want to see that dynamic. I mean, even bring Teresa. Like, if they could bring back Teresa back.
Brianna Lane, come on.
You know what I'm saying? Like, reinforce
We got to give Brianna some time. Her husband just passed.
You know, God.
Yeah, much love to
Brianna. My condolences to Brianna Lane.
And we can even bring Eve back. I love you, Cass, but they got Peacock money. Charlotte Ross, you ain't doing shit, girl.
I would love Charlotte Ross. Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
Do you think Charlotte Ross would bring her own background music?
No, she would say, they tried that shit with her, she'd be like, I'm not doing it. Take that shit off.
No horny ghosts for me.
No.
My girlfriend's my girl.
Oh my God.
Oh Lord. We'll see what next week brings. You know? We'll see what happens because, like Lakina pointed out to you, Rodrigo. You know, in three episodes.
Give me Lakina, girl. Why don't you go for my neck like that, girl?
I didn't have Lakina clearing Rodrigo on that legal card. Look what happened. Anyway, yeah. So we'll see what happens. So now, let's celebrate Women's History Month a little bit. We have been so blessed on the chat to have so many fabulous women come out and join us as guest co-hosts. But we have also enjoyed watching amazing women characters develop before our very eyes, from daytime soaps to primetime series. So without further ado, Alan, first off, who is your favorite female character in daytime ever, and then who is your favorite female character from a primetime drama?
From daytime, I know you guys are expecting me probably to say Natalie or Want to Live, but I'm actually going to give it to Annie Dutton in Guiding Light because she's the reason I'm a soap fan. Her crazy ass got me into soap, so thank you to Annie Dutton and Cynthia Watrose. Prime time, I'm going to give it to Cindy Bristow Alias. Jennifer Garner was a fucking bad bitch, kicking ass, wearing $10,000 wigs, real human hair, kicking people in the fucking face. And a great developed character, even though the Rambaldi plot and all that got kind of convoluted and all that, but Alias was a great show. I loved it. Still to this day.
Very nice. Tiggs, what about you? Favorite female character from daytime and then also from a primetime drama?
Favorite daytime character? I gotta go with my Dixie Cooney Martin. I'm just gonna go there. Like, after Megwitt had to pull that bullshit, I stopped watching All My Children for an entire year. Angie and Jesse was the only reason I came back. I don't know what it was about Katie McClain and that damn character, but I just... I always rock with her. Primetime, I will probably have to go with Piper Halliwell from Charmed.
Aww.
I love me some Holly Marie Combs. And she kept that show together for 8 seasons and kept it constant. Yes, I know everybody, it was all about Prue. Yes, I love me some Prue. I love me some Shannon Doherty. And I loved Phoebe's stupid ass when I loved Paige, but
not Phoebe's stupid ass.
Like, Piper was the heart and soul of that damn show. Argue with your mammy.
Rodrigo, what about you? Favorite female character from daytime and then in a primetime drama?
You know who my favorite daytime female character ever is. That's Ava to the damn Jerome. Like, I will scream it to the hills. Like, that's how much I love me some more Wes. It was between Ava, Jerome, and Carly Tenney, but I gave the edge to Ava because I like a lethal bitch on daytime. I like someone who's unapologetic and causes mayhem and havoc, but you still feel for them. And, you know, you see their good and bad side at the same time. And more or less, just, you know, she's day in and day out, no matter what story they throw at Ava, she just makes it work. And, you know, there's rare daytime actresses that can, you know, we call the turn to shit the sugar award. You know, the OG of that is Kim Zimmer. Everybody knows that. But Moore West comes in and is like, nope, I am the new Kim Zimmer. I turn shit into sugar in daytime in 2023 because the shit that had thrown Moore's way the last 10 years on this show. And she's made it work and she's still on this show. And a lot of stuff that they have thrown to Ava's way, you think they were going to kill her off, but Moore West just makes you feel for that character that you don't want her to go anywhere. You want her to be just as evil and ruthless. She's a character. We celebrated her murdering Connie Falconeri. No one cared about Connie that much. And when she killed her, we celebrated it. You know, she deserved the key to the city. The only one that mourned her were Olivia and Sonny. That was it. Everyone else didn't give a damn about Connie. So, like, yeah. So Ava Jerome is my favorite. Now, prime time, I'm going to keep it current. I'm going to give it to Janine Teagues, Abbott Elementary. Just Quinta Brunson is just... There's no way to describe the power of this woman and what she has brought back to comedy, especially on network television. The episode, this I think it was episode 18, where Janine confronted her sister, Aisha. That was some good shit. Like, I didn't, Abbott going a little dramatic wasn't on my bingo card this season. But the way they did that, and you got more insight into the Janine character, introducing a family member, getting to know who she is more, and like, I want to see Janine's mother. I know we won't have it this season, but for season 3, Quinta, I need a big name for that role, because you have made that, you know, the mom character so bigger than life. We haven't seen this woman yet, and she is the one that has affected these sisters' relationship. And the way Quinta, like, I was like, oh girl, You can do some drama. you're not just about comedy. Like, she is multifaceted. And that character is just, I love Janine. Like, Janine is just like so quirky and like, you know, she thinks she can do it all, but she just reminds you of people that, like, you know, they just want the best and they'll try to be the best and like, they love their job. Like, she loves being a teacher and, you know, she puts her heart and soul into it. And she's trying to learn from the old, you know, the older teacher, like with Barbara and Melissa. And it's just, it's so amazing to see. Like, this is one of the best characters I've seen on primetime that is so, you know, it's just amazing to watch. And Quinta is just, she just brings it to life. So she's my favorite right now is Janine Teagues.
Well, I think judging by my voice, you know who I'm going to say.
I know who you're going to say.
Come on, you all. I mean, you all know me so well by now. Who else is it going
MTS, aka.
Come on. By Nikki, Reed, Foster, Bancroft, Newman, Abbott, Landers, Newman, Chow, Sharp, Abbott, Newman. Ooh. Come on now. Stop playing with me. That is a force to be reckoned with. She's done it all from being a stripper to a co-CEO to a mother to a grandmother to marrying her life. Come on.
And her hair, Casey, her hair, that with her, the scene between her and Beth Maitland's Tracy, when they were talking about Melanie Thomas Scott's hair. God damn it. She has overtaken Laura Wright as best soap hair of daytime because it was fucking flawless the way she looked. Like, ooh. Melody, yes. What are you? Ooh, amazing. Amazing.
I tell you, you know, that new hair and makeup team came in over there and they are just doing it up for everybody.
Fabulous. She looked, that is the best Nikki. Her hair has looked in like,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because for a while, you know, Lil Harrison was had that crown for a minute.
God, damn it. Shut up, dude.
Okay, Mel said, hold my beer.
Mel said, you're not taking this from me. No. And so also my favorite prime time. I mean, my God, there are so many to choose from. But I think somebody who definitely sticks out in my mind is Brie Vandekamp from Desperate Housewives. That damn Marsha Cross. Love that character so, so much. Just amazing. I can't say enough good things about Brie Vandekamp. Love her. But anyway, thank you to all of our women guest co-hosts. It has been an honor to sit with each and every one of you on the panel, and we love you all so much. We're going to have each and every one of you back on, hopefully, in future episodes. And thank you to all of our female listeners. Thank you to all the amazing women behind and in front of the camera on our favorite shows. And happy Women's History Month to everybody. Thank you so much for everything you do. Alan, in the meantime, where can our listeners find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Alice Rappa.
Very good. Tiggs, what about you, my dear?
The Bin Master Part 2.
And Rodrigo, yourself?
At Rodrigo's World 81.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter at KCS Hutch. You can find our show on Twitter at @thechat_podcast. And you can also find us on Facebook at The Chat Show Podcast. We will see you next week to celebrate 50 years of The Young and the Restless. But until then, have a good day, everybody.
An episode that wasn't 3 hours. Yay!
Shut up,
Have a good night, y'all.
Night, y'all.
Bye.